بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Today's discussion will be revolving around the topic of مقاصد الشريعة. It is a very important topic to understand. It might sound complicated, and inshallah I'm going to do my best to make it as simple as possible so that anybody can understand it, but it is a very important topic to understand, because as the ummah returns to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are going to look back to the Quran and Sunnah and try to identify the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that generally we have not been able to figure out or have not known in the past. So now as we're going and studying and taking courses in ilm and so on and so forth, we're now starting to refer more and more to the Qur'an and Sunnah. But the problem is, as we turn back to the Qur'an and Sunnah and seek the hukm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we do not understand how to perform this process, then what will happen is we'll come to the wrong conclusion. As we discuss the topic of ijtihad and previous reminders, and we talk about shura and the role of shura, today is another obstacle in the path of finding the hukm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is misunderstanding maqasid al-shari'ah, and from it, the topic of al-masalih al-mursala, which I'll mention briefly at the end of the video. But the focus today will be on the topic of Maqasid al-Shari'ah. So first let's identify what Maqasid al-Shari'ah is, and then we'll understand how it's being misunderstood and misapplied, and essentially causing us to misunderstand the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maqasid is plural for the word Maqsad, and Maqsad comes from the word Qasid, which means to have the intention to do something, to have a particular objective to work towards, an end to work towards, and so on. So the meaning of Maqasid, it means the objectives. And then we have al-Shari'ah, which is the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore the meaning of it is the objectives that the Sharia achieves when applied on a society. And so essentially they've been identified by the scholars, they've been categorized as generally the protections in society, the things that Islam protects in society. And they've been categorized as 5 or 6, and more accurately, they've been categorized as 8. So the correct understanding is the full 8 number of categories. And they are the protection of the deen, so Islam has rules and regulations to protect Islam from attack and insults and so on. The protection of life, so there's ahkam in Islam that protect a human life and puts very harsh punishments for somebody who commits murder, for example. And the protection of wealth, so again, to protect people from having their wealth stolen and so on. The ahkam related to the protection of lineage, so Islam protects the family unit and maintains it within marriage and so on, and there's harsh punishments for those who go outside of these limits. And the protection of the mind, so Islam has rules and regulations against intoxication, the drinking of alcohol and the use of drugs and so on. And then there's the protection of honor and dignity. So to attack somebody and accuse somebody in their honor, to attack a woman of zina when she hasn't committed zina, false witness, these sorts of things, the ahkam of Islam protects society from this type of behavior. And then there's a protection of society as a whole. So this is the seventh of the 8, the protection of the security of society. So somebody wants to bring about corruption in society, there's very harsh punishments for those who try to go around and cause fear in society and so on. And then there's the protection of the state itself, which is the unity of the state. And so anybody who seeks to divide the Khilafah and cause corruption or cause rebellion against the Khilafah, there's very harsh punishment for those who seek to do such a thing. And so these are the categories of al-Maqasid. Some categorize it as 5, which is just the protection of religion and life and wealth and the mind and lineage. And those extended it to 6, who said that it includes honor and dignity. And those who included 2 more to extend it to 8, which is the protection of the security of society and the protection of the unity of the state. And again, the 8 categories are more accurate because they include 2 things that the others don't include. Now, what must be understood about these categories and where the misunderstanding occurs is that the maqasid are only intended as a reflection after implementing the ruling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, when you want to know the ruling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a particular topic, the first thing you do is let's assume you're a mujtahid, you go back to the text of the Quran and Sunnah, you identify the evidences from the Quran and Sunnah, and you perform ijtihad, and then you come to the conclusion based on the text of the Quran and Sunnah of what the hukm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Now, once you apply this, and you continue applying it, and you apply all the ahkam of Islam, at some point you're going to look back and notice the result of applying the ahkam. You're going to say, subhanAllah, look at how much protection Islam offers us. Look how much good Islam brings us. So you're going to notice all the good things that Islam brought that we would not have been able to just guess prior. What's happening today is people are taking these maqasid, these objectives, and they're treating them as if this is the reason for the ruling, meaning not the texts, rather these things are the source of the law itself. So what they're doing is they're going to the maqasid first. They're going to the objectives and saying, well, Islam says to protect life, and since this situation there might be a loss of life, therefore it's haram. even if it means standing up against a ruler. Even, so what about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that said, Sayyid al-Shuhada'i Hamza, وَرَجُلٌ قَامَ إِلَىٰ إِمَامٍ جَائِرٍ فَأَمَرَهُ وَنَهَا فَقَتَلَ. The master of all martyrs is Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib. And equal to him is a man who stands up to a tyrant ruler and orders him to do good and forbids him from doing evil, so the ruler kills him. So where's the protection of life in this? And that's why there's this misunderstanding. Muslims today, due to their lack of ability in the jihad, due to the lack of understanding of how Islam works, and also due to their environment of being raised in societies that teach us that the way you determine right from wrong is just by looking at how much harm there is and how much benefit there is, and choose benefit. This is essentially the secular way of thinking. And so Islam teaches us a different way. Allah Azza tells us in the Quran that we must refer to the Quran and Sunnah. فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. If you have any dispute on something, then refer it back to Allah and His Messenger. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. But no, by your Lord, they don't believe unless they refer to you and only you in the Quran and Sunnah meaning in all of their disputes. And so Islam is very clear in that the way we identify the ruling of Islam is by going back to the text of the Quran and Sunnah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَرَكْتُ فِيكُمْ مَا إِن تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِمَا لَن تَضُلُّوا بَعْدِ أَبَدًا كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّتِي. I have left two things with you. If you hold on to them very firmly, you'll never go astray. And what are they? Are they the maqasid? No, they are the text of the Quran and Sunnah. The maqasid are known after you identify the ruling. After you apply Islam, you look back and, you know, as they say in hindsight, you look back and say, look at all the good that Islam has brought. Because if you were to use the maqasid first, you would have to use your own perception of what must be protected, your own perception of the benefits. So therefore, you end up becoming as if you act as if you have the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as if you know. Because in any particular situation, there could be 100 different things to protect, and there could be 100 different benefits and 100 different harms. And so for you to think that most likely this one is the protection that we need to protect, and therefore choosing the ruling, you don't have the knowledge of the unseen. We don't have the knowledge of all the benefits and all the possible harms that might occur to know which one's best. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this information. And therefore, we're not allowed to take these maqasid and use them as a source of law. Rather, these are only a result of something to reflect on, to say, look at all these things. Essentially, they're just categorizations of the results of applying Islam, and they're not categorizations of the source of laws of Islam. And this is the primary area. Now, how this is being abused in our current time today, what's happening is that Muslims are, when we're coming to situations that where there's difficulty for Muslims, they're looking at the cost-benefit analysis, saying that, well, there may be loss of life, or we might lose the masjid, or we might lose some funding, or X or Y or Z. And so they say that we need to protect wealth, or we need to protect life, or we need to protect whatever other of the protections, and they're overriding explicit haram things or explicit fard things. So some examples: some Muslims want to get a house and they want to live in the West, and by renting constantly it might be too expensive, and so on. Or you might not be able to get a really nice car. And so some are saying the protection of wealth and the protection of whatever protection that a person might have in mind, therefore it's permissible to get a mortgage, or it's permissible to get a car on financing, and so on. So they'll override the explicit evidence in the Quran that forbid riba, and they'll allow it because of, well, we need to protect our wealth, and therefore now it's halal. Other examples are when Muslims are told to go vote. The Quran, nobody in their right mind can possibly say that it's permissible for a Muslim to go and delegate somebody to go and implement kufr on their behalf. Because remember, these governments are representative governments. So you're choosing your representative to speak on your behalf in parliament and implement kufr on your behalf. So can anybody say this is halal? Absolutely everyone knows this is completely haram. And so why is it allowed? They say because if we don't, then we won't be able to protect life, we won't be able to protect our wealth, we won't be able to protect our religious interests, our religion, and so on. So they're overriding absolutely known haram things with the maqasid. And the maqasid were never meant to be used in this way. Maqasid were only meant to be as a reflection after implementing Islam and sacrificing what you need to sacrifice. I'll put it one other way. When you take the hukm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it requires sacrifice, sometimes the loss of wealth and sometimes the loss of even life, as the Sahaba were tortured to death in order to make Islam stand strong. And so when you see these things in front of you, the correct understanding is Allah Azza wa Jal knows the maqsad in the end. So I should just do it and trust Allah Azza wa Jal. And in the end, there'll be more good than what I think I could bring good by using my own judgment. Because if we were to use just our own personal perception of the benefits and harms and the maqasid, then we don't even need the Quran and Sunnah anymore. We can just look at the harms, look at the benefits, and just pick what we want. So this is what the topic revolves around. The maqasid are being abused in our modern time today to override absolute evidences, qat'i evidences from the Quran and Sunnah, making haram into halal. And this is something that we must be aware of and worth to clarify it amongst the ummah. To spread these ideas, to show people what these things actually mean, and to correct the misunderstandings that are going on. But this is not such a bad thing, to be quite honest, because the ummah is returning to the deen. So there's going to be some growing pains. There's going to be some misunderstandings, and there needs to be some clarification, and that's all it is. It's just a matter of going back and understanding what it is that was originally meant and how they must be applied correctly, so that we can slowly rebuild the ummah, rebuild the understanding, and return to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to implement in our current situation. And one of the worst problems that we find is this misunderstanding will often cause Muslims to even work against those who are working to reestablish the Khilafah, for example, who are working to resume the Islamic way of life. We find some Muslims will remove Muslims from a masjid, or even call the police on them, or call security on them if they're in the Muslim lands. They'll call the intelligence agency, or they'll even say that you're going to go and cause corruption, and you're going to cause the people to rebel against whatever ruler and so on. And they say, well, this causes more harm, and therefore stay away from it. And this is a terrible misunderstanding. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba sacrificed almost everything that they had, their wealth and their lives and their family and everything that they had, in order to make Islam strong and implement the full comprehensive deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. And so for us to start working against the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal because of some tiny interest, some menial funding that we might get for a masjid or whatever it may be, this is something that's completely unacceptable and must be completely rejected by all Muslims globally. And this is what the role of a da'wah carrier is for all of us to take these ideas and to carry them to everyone that we know. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarify our understanding further in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal and give us a full understanding of how to refer to the text of the Quran and Sunnah and how to apply it in reality and to become aware of the obstacles between us and achieving the correct application of Islam. Barakallahu bikum, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.